Well, good evening, everyone. It's time to start the worship service this morning. Let's all stand if it's convenient for you. At the cross, alas, and did my Savior bleed.
Is the grandest.
how majestic is your name in all the earth. Amen. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. The heavens declare your greatness. The oceans cry out to
Jacob was here, and I thought he was one of the Korean kids for 2 days, and then I thought that kid looks familiar, and so he is, I'll never think of their names, but okay. Anyway, the folks that are members here, Hector and, yeah, Yeah, we need to remember them. And I just thought it was great that Jacob got to come. Did he ride one of the vans? Yeah, that's great. So we still got an inroad there. That was wonderful. And it looks like that there's a possibility that they'll be coming to Awana. And so we're very grateful that it's took us a long time, but maybe we're going to get to be more involved in that ministry and that church. So, sounds good. Any other? Anyone else? Amen. Amen. Anyone else? Take your Bibles. Turn to 1 Samuel, 17th chapter. 1 Samuel, 17th chapter. Those of you that have been involved in our Wednesday night Bible study, that'll kick back. We'll have that Wednesday night, and that's chapter 29 of the book of Proverbs. And we'll be entering into that, and that'll give you an opportunity to look that over between now and Wednesday night. And we'll be meeting again. And then Sunday night, this coming Sunday night, we'll have business meeting. If you're a deacon, we'll have deacon's meeting on Thursday night. So looking forward to a full week. What I want to do is read the scripture passage out of the Message translation. Beginning with verse 3, and I'm not sure where this starts on verse 3, so let's stand together. You'll be able to find it in your translation, but I'm going to read the 17:3 through 11, and then we're going to go down to 34 through 36, and then we'll read verse 47. So 3 through 11. A giant, nearly 10 feet tall, stepped out from the Philistines' line into the open. Goliath from Gath. He had a bronze helmet on his head and was dressed in armor, 126 pounds of it. He wore bronze shin guards and carried a bronze sword. His spear was like a fence rail. The spear tip alone weighed over 15 pounds. His shield bearer walked ahead of him. Goliath stood there and called out to the Israelite troops, "Why bother using your whole army? Am I not a Philistine among you? And am I not a Philistine enough for you? And you're all committed to Saul, aren't you? So pick your best fighter and pit him against me. If he gets the upper hand and kills me, the Philistines will become your slaves. But if I get the upper hand and kill him, you'll all become our slaves and serve us. I challenge the troops of Israel this day. Give me a man. Let us fight together." I don't know how far I was going to go through 11. When Saul and his troops heard the Philistines' challenge, they were terrified and lost all hope. Now go down to verse 34. David said, "I've been a shepherd tending sheep for my father. Whenever a lion or a bear came and took a lamb from the flock, I'd go after it, knock it down, and rescue the lamb. If it turned on me, I'd grab it by the throat, wring its neck, and kill it. lion or bear, it made no difference. I killed it. And I'll do the same to this Philistine pig who has taunted the troops of God alive. God, who delivered me from the teeth of the lion and the claw of the bear, will deliver me from this Philistine. Saul said, bless his heart, go and God help you. What a guy, wasn't he? He was the biggest guy out there, Saul was, among the Israelites. He should have been the one. Anyway, verse 47. He's answering the Philistine now. David answered, you come at me with a sword and a spear and a battle axe. I come at you in the name of the God of the angel armies. You remember that little song? The God of Israel's troops, whom you curse and mock. This very day, God is handing you over to me. I'm about to kill you, cut off your head, serve your body, and the bodies of your Philistine buddies to the crows and the coyotes. The whole earth will know that there is an extraordinary God in Israel, and everyone gathered here will learn that God doesn't save by means of sword or spear. The battle belongs to God. He's handing you to us on a platter. Let's pray. Father, we come before your throne of grace and mercy. And Lord, we ask you to speak to us tonight through your word. Lord, it seems like that in everything that's gone on in this past year that perhaps we've faced it kind of on the back line some way, and I don't think we meant to. I just think that how things have turned out. But Lord, there's so many giants in so many people's lives. Some perhaps that are here tonight that are facing a giant in their life. God, I just pray that you'd speak to our hearts tonight and that you'd encourage us through your word and that we would leave from this place stronger than we came because of the encouragement of your word. In the name of Jesus, I pray. You've, like me, have heard the story of David and Goliath, no telling how many times. You've studied it in Sunday school, and you've heard it preached on numerous times. You can get on the internet and just type in sermons on David and Goliath, and there'll be more than you can listen to in a week. There's lots of preaching on David and Goliath. Well, the Bible says of itself that the things that the Lord has allowed to be put in the Bible, he's put there for our example, for us to be able to look at and draw from that strength in our own life. So there's a great example in this battle. David made lots of mistakes in his life. But at this point in his life, he is very close to the Lord. When you look at the Psalms, you see deep into the character of David. You understand that God made his choice of David because he was a man. What is it? After my own heart. He has within him the character of God in lots of ways, and he's a worshiper. He worships the Lord. He's a musician. He plays. He writes music. He worships before the Lord. And he uses that God has given him. And in this event, and up to this point in his life, he has this extraordinary relationship to the Lord. Now, I don't know that anybody knows how old he was. Now, the giant, the King James says he disdains him. He looks, talks down at him, says, you send this dog out to me. One translation says, a little fuzzy-faced boy. Maybe he didn't have a strong beard at this time. Peach fuzz, one translation puts it. Ruddy. I've always thought that translated red. Some thought it meant small, but anyway, he disdains him at this point in his life. But he has such an extraordinary relationship with God. He encourages us so deeply in the things of the Lord. And I think that life, I don't know how well I explained that this morning, but life has its way of beating us down to where we forget the victory of serving the Lord. So I hope that we can regroup, perhaps. We can reassess ourselves tonight and our own relationship with the Lord. And if need be, that we would rededicate ourselves to His service and to His work, and to His study, to be more like David in this. I want to share with you tonight some things that you should know when you fight a giant. Now, we don't have very many folks here tonight, but I grant you that every person in this room has had battles or is having a battle right now with a giant in their life. It could be a number of things. Temptation, medical, it could be, oh, it just could be a number of things, but giants in our lives. This Goliath was almost 10 foot tall. Huge. And he had the whole army scared to death. These were fighting men. These were men that were accustomed to battle. So some things that you should know when you fight the giants in your life. Verse 47, David brings to light the battle is the Lord's. Now, we get to thinking sometimes that battle's ours, and there's not a thing in the world we can do about it. We don't have any power over the giant whatsoever. What power could David possibly have without the Lord in his life? What power could he possibly have over a giant? He couldn't have any at all without the empowerment of the Lord in his life. I'm telling you that you and I do not have it in us to live victorious lives without the Lord. We cannot muster up victory in our life without this relationship with God. In verse 38 and verse 39, you probably know the story well. Saul put his armor on David, and David couldn't use it. You remember that story? He couldn't use it. Well, David had an armor on that was not visible to the human eye, only to the spiritual eye. The Bible says that we fight not against flesh and blood. Now, I'm sure that Goliath looked like flesh and blood, but it wasn't a physical battle. It was really a spiritual battle. And I'll tell you, dear friend, when you and I face the giants in our lives, it is always spiritual. We fight not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. I want you to look over in the New Testament in the book of Ephesians, the 6th chapter, and I want you to look at verse 11. The only way that you and I can fight in these spiritual battles is with spiritual warfare. And so, let's look at it. Verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, we need to grab hold of that, having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with, what's that next word? Truth. Truth. Tell the truth if it takes the hide. Now, there's two elements of this truth. One truth is the truth of God. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. So there's the truth of God, and then there is that part of life that you and I always stand on the side of truth. We always tell the truth. Having on the breastplate of what? What is it? Righteousness. What does that mean? How you put on, when you're fighting a spiritual battle, how do you put on the breastplate of righteousness? I'll tell you, we don't get to heaven through our own righteousness. We get to heaven through the righteousness of Jesus Christ. We are to walk in Him. We are to walk in His steps and be like Him. We're to do what is right in all situations. We tell the truth if it takes the hide. We do what is right if it takes the hide. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. How beautiful are the feet of them that spread the gospel. Go into all the world and preach, proclamate the gospel. Everywhere we go, as you go, preach the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. That's what the word means, the good news of peace, that Jesus has come that we might have peace, that we might have life and have it more abundantly. We're to be sharing the gospel of peace with every person that we are around. The devil doesn't like to hear that story. Did you know the devil doesn't like to hear the story of when you got saved? He doesn't like to hear your testimony. He doesn't like to hear me and you brag on Jesus. Do you know that the Bible says that if you resist him, if you resist the devil, he'll flee from you? If you draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to you. How do you resist the devil? Especially in the midst of a battle, how in the world do we put up a resistance in the midst of a spiritual battle that is going on so that the devil won't have any choice but to flee from us? I think that there are several things that we can do. One thing is that we can pray. This is going to talk about it, but that we pray. I think another thing that we can do is sing praises to the Lord. And another thing that we can do is give testimony. You mean when you're by yourself and the devil is tempting you and he's on you and he's beating you down and there's no one else around, you can give a testimony that will cause the devil to flee? You sure can. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Man, I wasn't worth saving, but thank you for saving me. Thank you for changing my life, giving me the family that you gave me. Lord, you've been so good to me. You've provided so many things in my life. Lord, every step I take, every breath I breathe, everything that goes on in my life, Lord, you've given me all these things. I glorify you. I praise you. I lift your name up. Lord, I love you with all my heart. God, I just want to praise you today. And you know what? The devil does not like that. He does not like it. And if you don't believe me, try it. And he has to flee. You'll notice he's gone. He is not there. Take the shield of faith. Trust the Lord. We'll talk about this just a little bit more, but David was trusting in those things that God had done previously in his life. Has God done anything previously in your life? You get on your knees beside the bed if you're a sick child and pray, oh God, deliver them. You've got this situation going, that situation going, and God works that out. God, some way He exchanges beauty for ashes, and that changes. We've had lots of stuff in our life, and I don't go into detail about that, but when you have kids, their trouble become your trouble. Amen. I mean, then you get grandkids, and their troubles become your troubles. Whatever's going on in their life, it's going on in your life. You can't hide that. When our daughter went through a divorce, it was critical times in our life. It was very difficult times. And we stood on the porch of the parsonage when Madison was a little tiny baby and handed him into the arms of the woman that our ex-son-in-law had left our daughter for. That was tough. That was tough. Hatred had built in my life. I despised that guy. But you know, God exchanges beauty for ashes. We went to the graduation service of our grandson, Miles, from the military training. And his dad was there, and his stepmother, not the one that his dad had left our daughter for, but a second lady, and my daughter was there, and her husband, and all these kids, and we all had lunch together. We started parting, and God had, previous to that, had given us a lot of grace toward our ex-son-in-law, and I was able to embrace him and hug him. And, you know, it just, they all got in line and everybody started hugging. And he hugged me. His wife hugged me. And her sister hugged me. God exchanges beauty for ashes. You have to have faith. You have to trust in the Lord that He's going to work that situation out. Take above everything else, He says, take the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, knowing that God's going to work it out. And then take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching for thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I might open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. In Romans 4 and verse 17, the Bible says, He calleth those things which be not as though they were. Isn't that a good verse? Isn't that a good verse? That God calls those things that are not as though they were. He exchanges that in our life. So, first of all, David had assurance because of previous victories. In verse 17, 34 through 30, 37, he calls it back. David kept a journal, a record perhaps, in his head of what God was doing in his life, and he gave God all the glory. I'm not keeping a journal right now, but I have at different times, and I think that that is a very good thing to do, is to journal about what God is doing in our lives. The Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and the bear will deliver me out of thy hand, out of the hand of the Philistine. So David recalls the things that God had done in his life. Can you recall those things that God has done in your life? Those miracles that He has performed, either in your life or in the life of your kids, and how He has come through? How He has changed things that could have been So different. I was at a funeral a few days ago, and I knew the kids personally of the man that had died. And I said to one of them, this could be so different. You had a good daddy. A lot of people didn't have. A lot of people don't have. And they're not able to go back to that testimony. The cause became his cause. In chapter 17 and verse 29, he made it his cause. He even says to Saul, this guy is defying the armies of the living God. Is there not a cause here? Is there not a cause? And so the cause of God becomes his cause. David knew the Lord personally. You don't read where David got under conviction and prayed through and his life was totally changed after that. You don't read that in the Scripture, but you do read this. The Lord is my shepherd. He had a personal relationship with the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He had a personal relationship with the Lord. Most of you know I read a lot of Louis L'Amour. You can't ride for the brand unless you know the boss personally. You know what it means to ride for the brand? Well, you don't highlight yourself, and you always watch your back trail. That's one thing that Louis L'Amour would teach you, and you sit down whenever you can, eat whenever you can. That's another thing that he teaches. But he teaches that one of his things is to ride for the brand. That means that the boss's cause becomes your cause. Whatever his fight is your fight. We keep trying to get people to ride for the brand in the church. We want them to take ownership. I battle with that constantly, wanting folks to take ownership in the church. I can tell when they have and when they have not. When trouble comes, they get real scarce. I don't, only they know. And only God knows. But do they know the boss? Are they not riding for the brand because they don't know the boss personally? They don't have a connection there that holds them to it. David said, this is my cause now. It's become my cause. Here was this old kid that said, the Lord's cause has become my cause. David refused to be intimidated by his enemies. Intimidation, if you'll look that word up, it means to frighten someone, especially in order to make them do what one wants them to do. That's what Webster said intimidation was. And that's what the devil constantly tries to do in our life, is to intimidate us into doing what he wants us to do. Now think about that. He constantly intimidates us into getting us to do what he wants us to do. You're not worth anything. You're going to lose this. God's not for you, and on and on and on. You're not special. You'll never be special to the Lord or anyone else, and on and on and on. And you can't, you're not strong enough to be able to take a stand here. And if it goes wrong, it's your fault. Tries to main tactic of the devil is fear and intimidation. I've dealt with that all my life. That I wasn't quite as good as other folks. Wasn't as smart. Couldn't do what other people did. And on and on. And the devil does everything that he can to keep us beat down. But the battle, we have to remember, is the Lord's. And I think it does us really good. And if we can't, you might have been stirring your mind to trying to think of a past victory. It might do us good to just sit down with a little journal and begin to journal past victories in our life. For God has blessed us. It may have been in being able to witness to someone or to lead someone else to the Lord. It may have been a medical situation. It could have been a a very tough situation with a child or a family matter. It might have been financial. We always tried to come home at Christmas time when we lived away from here. My mother was living, and we'd always do our very best to come home at Christmas, be there for Christmas. And one Christmas, I don't know how many Christmas this took place, but at least one of those times, it was either Thanksgiving or Christmas, I don't know, but it come a snow. And we'd already left, and we drove into the snow, and we had an old Ford station wagon, a big old station wagon, and it was late, dark, and it was snowing so hard you couldn't hardly see the highway, and it was covering the highway real fast, and we were going up this hill somewhere between here and Mountain Home, I think it was, and we were going up this hill, and I could feel it slip every once in a while, you know, just two-wheel drive, and I was trying to keep my speed up, but I was so nervous, my leg was shaking, and I couldn't keep the gas steady going up through there, almost embarrassed at myself because I was so nervous going up through there. And my kids was all laying back there asleep. Not a problem in the world. You know, that's where we need to be at. Now, I mean, we need to fight the battle, but at the same time, we need to trust the one who is in charge of the wheel. I needed to try to find some place to use the restroom, and so I was looking for a pull off, any place I could get off and then get back on the highway. And there's an old service station that had been closed up, and I pulled in there, and a car pulled in behind me. I sat there for a while, and they sat there with their lights on. And I got out, and this lady rolled her window down and stuck her head out, and she said, "Are you going to be here very long?" She said, "I was feeling good following you." I said, "No, I'm getting ready to take off right now." We need to put trust in the Lord, not in me. But trust in the Lord. That's going to be all right. Do you have that feeling when those things come? It's going to be our faith. We put our faith in the Lord, our trust in the Lord. Everything's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. Had a lady this week that, maybe it was last week, anyway, talked with me, shared a very heartbreaking story, and her heart was just broke. But you know, I felt like I was able to say to her, "It's going to be all right. This is going to be all right, because the Lord exchanges beauty for ashes. This looks real bad right now, but it's going to be all right. The Lord's going to take care of it." Let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll dismiss. Roger, would you do that for us?